Take you to the book of Psalm 1. This is a great passage of scripture, and I was saying earlier that when a person is born in this world, there are three things he's in need of. Number one, he must be saved. He needs to be born again, and that's the greatest need there is. It doesn't matter how rich or poor, what country, what nationality, or you know, city you're from. The most important thing is for a person to be born again. And the second most important thing, I think, is for a person to have a home, a church home. If you don't have a good church home, you would be a mess. You know, you wouldn't be taught right. You wouldn't grow. A healthy church must grow. And if you're in a good church, you'll be taught, corrected, you know, all of those things. And I know your pastor has told you a lot about that. But then the third thing I think every person needs, a Christian needs, is the Bible. And we take it for granted. Many times we can say, I've got a Bible, and we may not even carry one to church. Nowadays we have it on the phones and things. But many of us fail to read the Word of God as well. We take it for granted. But if you realize in the world there are 160 million people without any access to Scriptures. Can you imagine that? If you were one of those people. There is no Bible in 1,800 languages in the world. 1.5 billion people don't have a Bible in their own language. If you only can imagine those numbers and think what God's given us. What a blessing, what a privilege to have the Word of God. And that you and I can take, we can take this for granted and forget about how important it is for our lives. But I want to take you to the book of Psalm 1 here, and share with you in the next few minutes the two different groups of people that Psalm 1 talks about. And if you'd pay attention, this is a wisdom psalm. It's the first psalm in the book of Psalms. And it opens up the gateway, the doorway to the entire book of Psalms. It's an anonymous psalm. It's written, we don't know who the writer is, but look at the way he begins the psalm. He says, blessed. The very first word is blessing. What does the word blessed mean? In simple terms, blessed means to be happy. Happy. Happy is the man. What brings us happiness today? When you think about it, you might say, Brother Jacob, I think if I have a lot of money, I'll be really happy. And all of us want a little more of money because we have needs. Of course we have needs. Maybe you'd say, if I have a better car, a better house, a better whatever. But, you know, happiness does not come from those things. And I want to remind you this morning, the very first thing that gives you happiness is when you and I get saved. For the very first time in 1989, when I got to know the gospel, when my father-in-law sat me down in his living room and told me, Richard, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? The Canadian missionary lady asked me the same question. 3 months down the road, I was in my father-in-law's house, and I was asking him a question. I said, I want an application to go to Bible college. He sat me down. He says, first of all, let's talk about if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to share the gospel with me. And soon I realized I needed to be saved. I needed to really know for sure and settle that question. And he asked me the same question the Canadian missionary lady asked me. Said, Richard, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? I said, don't they have a different question, you know? That would be much easier. But everywhere I went, I seemed to get the same question. And God began to convict my heart. And that day, I knelt down and asked Jesus to come to my heart. I remember going back home, how happy I was. How excited I was that God had come into my heart. And I realized how sad it was that my family, my friends, my village, the people in my village didn't know Jesus. And that was very sad. So when I went to Bible college, the very first year in Bible college, I said, I can't wait 4 years to finish college to start a church and to tell people about Jesus. I need to tell them what I know. What if I die tomorrow and I can't complete Bible college? So I started a church with three little children under some eucalyptus trees in India. And we began to teach them Sunday school Bible stories that I knew, and I was okay with talking to kids. I was scared to talk to teens and even more afraid to talk to older people. So I said, the best thing would be to talk to kids. They're innocent. They don't know anything. You know, I can teach them anything. They'll believe me. But God began to change their hearts. They got saved. Soon their cousins and nephews and nieces, all their little cousins, brothers and sisters got saved. Then their parents got saved. Then their grandparents got saved. See, four generations of people get saved because we were willing to obey God's call and start up a church. We didn't have much. We didn't have a building. We didn't have a roof over our head. We had nothing, absolutely nothing. We sat in the midst of some trees. Then later on, I told my dad, can I run a Sunday school in a small church in my building, in our front yard? And he said, that's fine. And so we just you know, had dirt floors on the ground, and we brought kids, we brought sheets, like, you know, bed sheets and bedspreads, and we just pinned them all together. We just made a little area there, brought people in. We began to preach, and people began to get saved. You know, God can do amazing things, and I want to challenge you today. You know, if you're not saved, you need to be born again today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Amen. Today, now is the time. Then if you don't have a home church, this is the time to decide that. You can't be without a home. You need a home where God can grow you. And the third thing I want to share today is about the Bible. But if you look in verse number 1, he says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We find here this man is happy because he's saved wonderfully. But then we also find he's separated from the world. He says he does not stand, he does not walk, he does not stand, he does not sit in with the wrong crowd. As Christians, many times we can have our feet in two different boats. And it's very hard if you ever try to put your foot in, your one foot in one boat and the other one in another. You're not going to stay on either one for too long. You're going to be in the water, okay? And so we need to take a stand. We need to stand away from the world. We need to walk away from the world because Jesus saved us and we need to walk with the Lord. And sometimes it takes us to give up our friendships, to give up the places we were going to quit doing the things we were doing before we got saved, because Jesus paid my sin debt by his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And if he can do that for me, I can give up the things that I was doing before. And by the way, if you're a Christian and you're saved, for sure, we can't continue to do those wrong things because the Holy Spirit of God will convict our hearts. And then we find here, he reminds us that in order to be happy, not only should you get saved, but you need to stay in God's truth. You need to be separated. You need to walk in the principles of God's word. Have you ever noticed that when you do something wrong, I've noticed this in my life, it's happened so many times. You jump a stoplight, the cop's right there. You know? You go a little bit over speed, and right then the police officer shows up, and I thought to myself, you know, what's going on? People are going 90 miles an hour, nobody seems to see them. But then God always watches over his children. And he corrects us, he chastens us. So we're separated, we need to be separated from the world. But then we also need to be saturated by the word. Verse number 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So in order for us to be, you know, to stay happy, we need to stay away from the world, but we need to stay in the word. We need to be saturated by God's word. The more the Holy Spirit of God deals with me and changes me, guess what happens to me? I act and react differently. Somebody said, we're like sponges, you know. Whatever you dip the sponge into and you squeeze out, that's what's going to come out of it. Many times when Christians are squeezed through circumstances, to situations, to different things, guess what comes out? Whatever's inside of us. If I'm an angry person, that's going to show up pretty fast. If I'm unhappy, it's going to show up. And most of the times we find in churches that there are a lot of sad Christians, and I wonder why they're sad. I don't understand it. Because God's forgiven us of our sin. He's given us a home in heaven. We have so many things to be grateful for and thankful for. I can't go around being grouchy and sad and upset and mad with somebody or something. You know, God's given me too many good things for me to be that way. It's so easy to smile. And yet many of us don't want to smile at somebody because we have something going on in our own lives or we're thinking about something. But you know, the beauty of this is in verse number 2, he says his delight. He delights in the word of God. He says not only in the law of the Lord, but he says day and night he spends time in God's word. No wonder his feet doesn't slip. No wonder he doesn't stray, because he's grounded in the truths of God's word. And you and I as Christians, we must spend time in the word of God. We must read the Bible. You know, not too long ago when I was teaching at Crown, I had to play a video in my classroom to show my students how important the Bible is. There was a tribe called the Khmer tribe, and this Khmer tribe had never had the Bible in their entire lives. They'd never heard about God's word. And so a missionary went down there and began to translate the Bible. She had to first come up with the language and all the alphabet, and then she had to start writing the Bible, and she translated the entire New Testament. And one day she went up to the chief and said, Chief, I want you to know something. We have the Bible completed in your language, and we're going to bring it, we're going to ship it from overseas. It's going to come by a plane. And the plane's going to land in our little village. And the chief said, "What do you mean, the Bible?" He said, "The Bible is God's word." He says, "Do you mean to say that God had written us a word and nobody gave it to us for the past 2,000 years? And he said, "I can't believe that you people kept it away from us." And the whole village, the chief ordered the whole village to come to the place where the plane was going to land. And he said, when the plane lands, he says, "I want everybody here to come together, and we're going to pray, and we're going to..." And they began to weep, and they began to dance, and they began to shout, and they were waiting for that plane to land. And as it landed, they picked up those Bibles off the plane, and they put it on their shoulders, and people were weeping, saying, "We didn't know God had given us a Bible. We didn't know God gave us a word. He had written us a letter. Now we get to see it for real. Now we get to have it for our own selves, and now we can know what God had to say to us." And so many times I think Christians, we fail often to not read the Bible like we ought to. And I'm guilty of that as well. There are times I spend so little time in God's word, and yet God took so much time to give it to me. In verse number 3, he says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Isn't that good? The Bible says not only are we going to be saved wonderfully, separated from the world, saturated by the word, but satisfied by the waters. This tree is not just a tree that was growing there, but he says it's transplanted. In the Hebrew, actually, it means it's a tree that's been taken out, uprooted, and planted by the rivers of water. Why? Because water is the source that supplies the plant all its nutrients. It'll satisfy that plant. The sunshine and the water and all the nutrients will make it grow. Its roots are going to go deep down. Its leaf will never wither. Its fruit's going to last forever. And isn't that what God wants for your life? God wants you to be a fruitful Christian. God says, "I want your roots to go deep down." By the way, God transplanted you. He took you out of the world and put you into the church. He saved you. Now he's given you a source of water, but many of us will miss church. And we say, "Brother Jacob, I have things to do, and I'm so busy, I don't get a day of rest, and I have to play this game or that activity, and I have to visit a family," or whatever it be. But don't quit going to church, because God wants to meet with you there. It's such an important thing. It'll bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we find the psalmist here is saying the key to happiness. There's so many things that we need to do in order to stay happy, and he's talking about the saved man. In verse number 4 onwards, he goes to talking about the unsaved man, or the burdened man, the man that's blessed in the first 4 verses, then the man that's burdened. The man that's burdened, he's ungodly. The Bible says, why is he ungodly? Because he is unsaved. He is dead. Can you imagine the plight of people that are not saved? They're spiritually dead. In John chapter number 3, verse 36, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is already condemned." Can you imagine that judgment hangs over the head of people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? If they were to die in their sin, they'd go to hell and burn there for all eternity. We put our video here, and we put a few seconds of the fires, the flames of fire. And one brother told me, he said, "Brother Jacob, I think you need to tone that down. The screams are too bad, you know. You don't want to scare people in churches." I said, "That's where we need to scare people more." You know? Because people are afraid to talk about hell, and they're afraid to talk about death, and they're afraid to talk about eternal punishment and judgment. But I tell you what, it's better for us to tell them of the truth. So God can change their hearts. And I'm afraid today that there's lots of ungodly people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because we as Christians have become so complacent. We become so comfortable with our condition. We say, "Lord, I'm saved and I'm so grateful, but I don't have time to go and tell my neighbor about you. I don't have time to talk to you about my family or the people that I work with." But you know, God has to burden our hearts. One of the most sweetest words, I'll talk about that in our sermon this morning, but in the Bible is the word compassion. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. It didn't matter how tired he was, how hungry he was. It didn't matter none of those things mattered. He always wanted to meet the need of people and see them saved. And so, as we look here, we find the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of sinners, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We find not only are these people, the ungodly people, dead spiritually, but they're doomed eternally. Judgment is going to come, and when it comes, they're eternally going to be doomed. They're going to be taken out of the hell and be cast into the lake of fire. If you ever want to think about that, try getting burned with a candle. You know, a little bit, even for a few seconds, that hurts pretty bad. If you cook a little bit, you realize when that hot oil comes on your skin, you get that, you know, it burns pretty bad. It gets a boil and it hurts for a long time. Can you imagine the plight of people that are going to burn in hell for all eternity? And there's no remorse. There's no remedy. There's no help. There's no way out. And as Christians, we need to be saddened about these situations. We need to be a burden for people when we look at them and say, God, how am I going to walk and one day stand before you and give an account and say, it's okay that I didn't tell this person about you? You know, that's what Paul said. I'd give my life for my people, he said. Lord, judge me. Even if you put me to death, it's better for me to do that than to let my own people go to hell. Give me an opportunity to reach these people. And I'm telling you, in America today, you drive across America, and I've witnessed to people all in different states and different cities as God takes us to places, and I'm often amazed at people, at the burdens they bear, at their hearts that are so saddened. In our video, we have pictures of people on drugs, people on alcohol, people that are in broken homes. More than 50% of marriages will break, you know, in America. And you know why? Because they don't have Jesus. Marriage is hard to maintain even just by itself, in and of itself. We may be in love for a moment and for a few months, a few years, and after that the rubber hits the road and things change, and then all that sweet thing, thoughts go away from our minds, and now we're all fighting, you know, with the person that we love most. And soon we break up and our homes are shattered. Children suffer the most. And you know what? They have no hope. The only hope they have is if you bring them to Jesus, and Jesus can fix all those things back again. And that's why we have that in the video, because there are broken homes and broken hearts, but God can change all those dynamics, and we want to thank the Lord for that. So we find the sinful man, he's burdened, he's dead, and spiritually he's doomed eternally, but then we also find he's going to have second death as well. We know that already. We talked about it in verse number 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knows our way. That's why David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a confidence David had, even when he failed. You know, can you imagine the unsaved person, how terrible their plight is? They have no confidence. They don't know what's going to happen to their, when they die. They think it's all fun and games now. It's time to party and to have the pleasure-filled life. But when reality hits them one day, they're going to realize what a terrible waste to life it was. And I want to challenge and encourage your heart this morning. The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God is like a mirror. It'll change your life. It'll help you to see who you are and what you look like. I'm glad all of us woke up and stood before a mirror this morning. Otherwise, we'd have trouble. Many times I put the wrong buttons up in my shirt and I walked out and my kids like, what's going on here? Because I never took the time to stand in front of a mirror. Everything's not right. You know, we need to take the time. God's Word will show us where we're wrong. It'll correct us. It'll chasten us. It'll help us. But many times when we forsake it, we'll be the ones to lose. We need to take the time to read God's Word. We find here, if you turn in your Bibles, and we'll close here in Psalm 19. I love Psalm 19 because it talks about the Word of God. The Bible says, the law of the Lord in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It'll make us wise, people that don't know much how God changed their lives, like Peter. Can you imagine Peter and all his other friends were fishermen? And they said, how do these men speak so wonderfully well? What happened to them? God changed them. When you're with Jesus, you get changed. We find it sure. It makes wise and simple. Verse number 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right. By the way, don't ever argue with the Word of God. Just obey it. Because the Word of God is going to always be right, and I'm going to always be wrong. That's the way it works. And then it says, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And look at what the psalmist says here. It says, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, also than honey in the honeycomb. And then verse number 11, he says, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. In obeying God's word, the rewards are eternal. God always wants to bless us, by the way. God's always looking for ways to bless and make your life better. But you know, we rob our own blessings because I run away from God, I turn away from God, and I walk into the world and I do the things that I want to do. And my will trumps God's will, and I do whatever I want. And then later on, I turn around and I look back and I say, Lord, what happened? The Lord says, I was here all the while. You wandered away. But he's welcoming you back. He says, come back now. Today, if you come back, he'll open his arms and he'll accept you back and he'll love you more than he ever loved you before, and your life will be transformed. You know, the Word of God is an amazing thing. And I want to encourage you. That's why the Bible has Psalm 1 where it's at, because God put it there on purpose. He said, do you want a blessed life? And if I asked you this morning, I'd say, how many of you really want a life that's full of blessing? You'd all raise your hand, myself included. But the way to blessings is to walk with God. The way to be happy is to make Jesus the most important person in your life and his word become the law book in your home. Thy word, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will guide us. It's safe, it's secure, it's steady, it's steadfast, it never moves. And we can move as much as we want, but God's word will never change. And that's the same about our Lord Jesus Christ as well. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And this morning, I hope you'd be challenged, encouraged to, you know, to read your word, the Bible more, to spend more time with Jesus and to become more like him, because your life matters. Why? Because others' lives matter. If you walk with God, you can help others. If I don't walk with God, how am I going to help anybody else? I need to be right. I need to be, you know, in God's word. I need to be filled, controlled by his spirit so I can be a blessing. If I'm not, then I'm going to hurt people along the way. And may God help us to see that. And I'm so grateful to God that we have the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you this morning for this church family. Thank you for pastor. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this town. I pray, God, there are many, many, many souls around us that are not saved, that don't know you, Lord. And I pray, Father, even as Christians, there are many Christians that are backslidden this morning. I pray you'd encourage us, help us, Lord, to get back to where we were once with you. And Lord, help us to walk with you. And I pray, God, meet with us today in this church meeting, in the service. Everything we say and do might glorify, honor, and please you. I ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.